Beloved, let's turn in God's word now to John chapter 16. John 16, 25 through 33. Some of our younger members in our church have been asking me to take a little more time before reading the scriptures after announcing the verses. And so if it seems like I'm taking a little more time before reading the scriptures after announcing the verses, it's because I am. It's for them and for their sake. And of course, we want to accommodate that. The Lord tells us to bring the little children to me. We are not to hinder them. So little children, take your time, find your words, and we'll all read together. All right, John chapter 16, verse 25 through 33. Let's hear the words of our Lord. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father, I have come and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Amen. Well, if you are like me, as I've mentioned this morning, it's difficult to not be anxious, to not be worried. And as we've been spending some time here in John 16, we've seen the disciples filled with sorrow, the scripture said, about hearing this word about Jesus leaving them. And Jesus says here that when in short order here, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, he says, when you will be scattered, each to his home, and will leave me alone. Why will they do this? Because they're afraid, they're worried. What will the world do to them? How will they be able to withstand the tribulation? The times are changing. Jesus is leaving, but he doesn't leave them alone, and he doesn't leave them without a plan. And here in our passage, he gives them three simple truths, which I want to preach to you this morning. Things that are impossible to hear and to follow without Christ, but for those who hear the words of the Spirit, those who do follow Christ, these words bring great peace to us. They steady us in the midst of trials and difficulties. And so what are these? The first thing is that Jesus tells them and he tells us that we can hear his voice even after he is gone. That we can hear his voice even after he's gone. He means both in the Old and New Testament, but here, particularly, our focus is on the New Testament. How do we see this? Well, Jesus says in verse 25, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but I will tell you plainly about the Father." I'll tell you plainly about the Father. And that happens. Been Jesus' mission all along, Remember that Jesus is not revealing a special word that is any different from the Father. He's revealing what God has spoken to him. And so what he's telling his disciples here, which continues on into our own age, is that he's not leaving us without his word, without his guidance, without his voice to lead us. You remember earlier in John, he described himself as the good shepherd. And he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." When somebody goes away, a family member or a friend, one of the things we wonder is, will I hear from you again? We know that because they're not physically present, that will be difficult. And so we wonder, will we message one another? Will I see you online? Will you write me a letter? Will we hear from them even though they're gone? A similar issue is here with Jesus. He is saying, I am leaving you, but you will still hear from me. He says, the hour is coming when I will speak to you in some ways, he says, in a way that's even better than what I have spoken to you previously. Before, I have spoken to you in figures of speech, but now the hour is coming when I will speak to you plainly about the Father. He is going to reveal God to us in a more plain way. Now, note what he says about this plainness, and you might ask yourselves, how could he have told them more plainly than the words that we have right here? But remember this, that the words that we have right here, the words in John, and in Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and all the New Testament, these revealed words of God are the words that were revealed after his ascension. In other words, these are the words that he has revealed plainly about the Father. You might say, but don't we have the words of Christ recorded before he ascended? Well, yes, of course. We're reading them right here in the Bible. I've just read them to you. But remember that after the Lord's ascension, the Holy Spirit took those words that Jesus had previously spoken, and he brought them to the remembrance of his disciples and put them in a very plain context and form that we all might understand. In other words, what Jesus is talking about speaking plainly, he's talking about the New Testament. He's talking about this word that he has revealed, that he would reveal to the disciples and did reveal to them, and that we now have. This helps us explain a question that you may have had in reading the Gospels. Why are the disciples always so confused when I'm not? Well, one answer to that is they were hearing something different than what you hear. Not a different message, but the message in a more hidden form. Why do I say that? Because that's what Jesus says. I have spoken these things to you in a figurative way. Parables and sayings and things that they didn't understand how they all fit together. But after he ascended, after the cross, after he went and fulfilled all of these things that they were being taught, then the Lord revealed them all in a context that was plain, and he gave them to us. So what we hear then are the disciples speaking to us. Or when we hear the disciples speaking to us, for example, in the Gospel of John, we are hearing the words of the Spirit. We are hearing the words of Jesus. Jesus is speaking plainly to us. Though he's leaving, he continues talking. And we have that word right here. Remember what John says at the end of chapter 20? He says this, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." What this means then is that whenever you hear or call to your mind the words of the Bible, whether that's the Old Testament of Christ's word or the New Testament of Christ's word, when you hear the Bible, you are hearing the voice of the Father in the Son by the power of the Spirit. You are hearing the words of Jesus. You're hearing your shepherd calling you. Hear it that way. What is Jesus saying? and listen and follow and obey. This brings us peace because, remember, it's our job in this world to follow him. And it's good news that he's not stopped leading us where we ought to go. Jesus, yes, he is leaving from this world. His human body is ascending up into heaven, but he's not leaving us alone. He will continue and has continued to speak to us. And for those who want to follow him, that's very good news. The second thing Jesus says is that just as he is speaking, so also we can speak and be heard by the Father. This is the second thing Jesus tells us. He talks to us about prayer. Notice what he says. He says, "In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that you will ask the Father, or that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Remember, previously, Jesus spoke to us and told us in the last passage that there is coming a time when we will not need to ask anything else, that there won't be anything to ask for. We will have all things. But for now, he desires us to pray, and God, he says, will hear us. To put this another way, Jesus is putting our minds and our hearts at ease by telling us that God will hear us. And in doing this, in saying the Father will hear us, in doing this, Jesus is correcting a common error. Perhaps you've thought this or have known somebody who has thought this. Some people think that because Jesus, the Son, is the one who took on flesh, because Jesus is the one who died on the cross, because Jesus is the one who's interceding for us every day, that the Father is sort of standing there in the background, kind of tolerating it all. Or even worse, unwilling, but frustrated somehow by the work of his Son. That somehow, in some way, the work of the Father and the Son is at odds. And boy, is it good that Jesus loves us and stands in place and protects us from the hateful Father. Well, this is not true. And Jesus says it himself here in this way to correct this error. He says, the Father himself will hear you. And there's a lot of reasons why this error is false, but let's stick to the one that Jesus gives us here. What does he say? He says, the Father himself loves us. That's how we know that the Father hears us, because the Father himself loves us. He doesn't love you because he has to because of Jesus. No, he himself loves you. There's a distinction between the persons here that Jesus is making. And why does he love us? He loves us because of our love and faith in the Son. Notice, though there are distinctions between the persons, we also see the union of God here, of the Godhead. And this is very profound. There's no way that we can exhaust the truth of this even in a lifetime. But let me say simply this. The Father loves faith and loves love in his Son because he loves his Son. Notice how this all starts. It starts with this union of love between the Father and the Son. Remember other passages in Scripture that teach us that we have been chosen by God in the Son. That he has given this people, us, to his Son. He has elected us in the Son. He has done all this because he wants to make us more like him. In other words, he wants to make us like sons. He wants to make us children of the Heavenly Father, that we might become more and more like him. Remember that God the Father himself initiates these things, John tells us in chapter 6. He's the one who makes it possible, and it's all because of that L word again, love. When you consider the love of God, then, know that the three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are not divided against each other, fighting against one another. No, they love perfectly one another in such a way that there is one God in all love. And this communion of love that is between the persons is exactly what we have been brought into. This fellowship, we have been brought into that. Why? Because the Father loves us in the Son and calls us by the Spirit. All this to say, this is all this to say that when we pray and ask our Father who art in heaven to hear our prayers, there is this infinitely deep and rich knowledge, a revelation of God that He has given to us to ground our faith, to know that we are not walking into the presence of the Lord nervously wondering if we might get tossed out, but we are there because He has called us to be there, because He, the Father Himself, loves us, even as He loves the Son. This brings us peace because it means that we're not left without a set of instructions, first of all. We have a teacher to help us and save us. But in addition to that, as we go along in this world, He continues to hear us along the way. In other words, Jesus doesn't drop the Bible off and say, "Have a good day. I hope you figure it out." No, He stands with us each and every step of the way, ready to hear our prayers, saying to us, "When you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is good news. We are not left alone, in other words. Will He hear me? Will He guide me? When I make mistakes, will He hear my prayers? When I sin against Him and fall away, will He bring me back? Will He listen to me? Yes, 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 and yes. He will answer us because we pray in the name of Jesus, because we're following Jesus and we want the things that Jesus wants. And everything that Jesus has is what the Father has given Him. We are in union with God. And if I'll say this as a warning, as a way to test your heart, if it doesn't give you peace to know that God is speaking to you and listening to you so that you might be wrapped up in His love and become more and more like Him, if that doesn't give you peace knowing that God walks with you in that way, then you ought to examine your hearts. Then you ought to see what kind of pride lives within you, what idols you're still clinging to, what heavenly hopes you are actively leaving behind because you are desiring a life without God. A warning, but also an encouragement. When you hear these things, that God is standing beside you, that God is with you, that God hears your prayers and He is speaking to you, let it give you the peace that Jesus promises we have in Him. Let it calm your anxious hearts and remind you of who God is and what He's doing for us. Well, the final thing that Jesus says to us, the first is that He will continue to speak to us, and even in a better way, a plainer way. The second is that our prayers will be heard, and that God will answer our prayers when we pray in Jesus' name. The third is wonderful as well, and it's this: He will stand by us, even when we temporarily don't stand by Him. In this path in which we are going, Jesus has left us with instructions. He has promised to guide us. He has promised to hear us along the way. And He has promised to stand by us even when we fall away. Even in the ups and downs of life, He will be there with us. Like His disciples, we will have times in our life when we will let sin overtake us, when we will let tribulation give us down and we will despair, when the trials will become so great that we will give in and wander away from the Lord, running, hiding, bringing sin and shame into our lives. But Jesus promises us this: even though we do, Christ will stand beside us. You remember, of course, what happened to the disciples. They make all kinds of promises. Even here in John 16, notice what they say. Jesus says, I will speak to you plainly about the Father. And they say, ah, now you're speaking plainly. Now you're not using figurative speech. Now we know everything. And then that's when he says, don't get ahead of yourselves. There's coming a day, he says, do you now believe? Oh, really? Oh, really? Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. The disciples, before this night is over, even after receiving some of the best teaching the world has ever received in person by Jesus himself, even after receiving that, some, indeed all, would run and hide. Some, even like Thomas, wouldn't even believe until they stuck their hand into his resurrected side of his body. What a shame. But what does Jesus say? He says, notice what he says. He says, you will leave me alone, yet I will not be alone, for the Father is with me. And then he says in verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. It's sort of an odd thing to say, isn't it? Right? You're going to scatter and leave me alone. You're filled with pride in saying that you now believe me. I tell you this, that you may have peace. Right? Maybe a little bit of a disconnect there at first, because if our confidence is in ourselves, if our confidence is in our faithfulness, yes, I am going to be strong. I will keep the faith to the end because I now believe. Well, very quickly, the ground will fall out from under you. But why does Jesus say this? He says, because our peace is in him, it's not in ourselves. He's telling these disciples on the night in which he will be betrayed of their betrayal, so that in the coming days, when they see the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and they stand firm and they move forward, they will be able to say, just like we do, by God's grace alone. They will be able to say, and they will say and do say, even in this very passage, which is written by a disciple, that peace is in Jesus. That the reminder of our failings is good news if we keep in mind that he has overcome the world. That he is our rock. That he is our salvation. Remember what I said about at the beginning and mentioned just now about who wrote this book and the other writings of the New Testament. It's these very disciples, and usually directly. How do we know that Jesus has overcome the world? Because these disciples, instead of hiding the fact and saying to themselves, well, I guess that's over, I failed the test, I didn't follow Jesus to the end, and then living in shame and obscurity, remembering the good old days when I once followed Jesus. No, instead, they wrote down some of the most shocking betrayals in the history of the world that they themselves did. They don't downplay it. They don't reduce it. They confess it openly for all the world to hear, knowing that the Holy Spirit would send this word out into all the world, for all the world to hear. This is pre-internet, too. Because they came to realize that by the Holy Spirit, what Jesus was saying was true. And it was what he was telling them all along. That our kingdom, the kingdom that we receive from God, is not dependent on us, but dependent on him. And this ought to be a great encouragement and peace to every heart that has ever wondered, am I following the Lord? Or, I know I'm not following the Lord as I ought. That when we see ourselves stopping to love the things of God, desiring to do His will, be hungry for His righteousness, and this happens to us all, that we, when we wander, when we lose our paths, that the Lord is still there, and that we can return to Him, and that He will receive us. That God is stable, and His mission does not change because we get distracted, because we wander away from the truth. Notice He says in the past tense even, I have overcome the world. Jesus is not waiting for us to overcome the world for Him so that then He can finally get to be king. Jesus has overcome the world and is now inviting us to join in that victory with Him. You know that you can't depend on yourselves. So rejoice in the Lord that you can depend on Him. So to sum things up, as Jesus departs, He speaks to His disciples, who in turn deliver His words to us. And the words that He tells us is that though times are changing and will be full of tribulation, when we listen for God's voice in the Bible, when we use our voices to pray in Jesus' name and trust Him to keep His word, we will remain in His will, in His love. And with Him, we will have overcome the world. He says these things to us for the reason that He gives, so that in Him we would have peace. Of course, there's no peace if you don't follow the plan. There's no peace if you walk in your own way and you do things as you wish. If you desire to be alone and separated from God, He will give you the desire of your heart. And you will be alone and you will be separated from God. But to those who desire not to be alone, who desire not to be separated from God, but who desire to live in His light, to lean on Him in prayer, to follow His words, and to have His peace, the Lord promises to guide you all the way to heaven. And these truths will steady a Christian. Lean on them. Lean on Him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we now go to You and we ask that You would hear our prayers, that You would hear them in Jesus' name, who has sacrificed Himself on our behalf so that our sins would not fall down upon our own heads and would not separate us from You forever. In love, He came into the world to overcome the world, and we praise You and thank You for overcoming our hearts, for subduing and conquering the sin within us so that it might not have any power over us, so that the devil and all his the evil that follows his name and his will would be set aside, would no longer be a threat to us, to undo us and to shake us and to ruin us. Lord, we ask that You would help us to walk in stability and strength and calm confidence and in peace, knowing that You are the great God Almighty and that in You we have all the promises and hope and joy of heaven. We ask, Lord, that You would instill these truths into our minds and into our hearts. We ask that You would put these seeds deep within ground that is ready to spring forth fruit, and that we would experience the closeness of Your dwelling with us, that we would know what it means to walk before You, to have peace with You. We pray for those who do not know You, who yet remain away and separated. We ask that You would grant them to hear these words and to find the faith, to find faith in Jesus, who is the Son of God and who gives us eternal life. Beloved, let us pray now as the Lord has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.